Oh, we're live.
Yes, we are.
There we go. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the pod, the Father's Uplift, you know, King's Dilemma. I'm here. My name is David Andrade. I'm your host, and I have two special people with me today. Who want to introduce themselves first?
Ladies first.
Okay. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I love so that.
What's
that chivalry's day, huh?
My name is Athena Davis. That's all you really need to know.
Classic queen.
It's on the cut.
Yeah. Hey!
Okay. And my name is George Wachiado.
What?
But my real friends call me Akwesi.
Hey.
Damn, you know what's funny? On my phone, it was like, when you texted into the group chat, it was like, maybe Mr. Akwesi.
Yeah. That's lit. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this hat you got going on today. Young fashionista out here. You know what I'm saying? Do you cool, Che?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, you know what? Low key, I was like, yo, I wanna do a road trip. I wanna drive all the way to South America. I was like, I actually mentioned that idea to my mom. She's like, you're gonna get kidnapped and killed. And I was like, damn, you have like no faith in me, which made me want to do it even more.
Same bit of effect.
Yeah, yo. Oh, yo. Anytime I'm told that, like, I shouldn't do something, I'm just like, I gotta do it. Like, I'm gonna look at myself in the mirror, knowing that I like copped out.
It gives you an extra burst of encouragement.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yo, for everyone listening, we want to let you in on a little secret that we do here at Father's Uplift. It's part of our secret sauce and everything that we do, especially when it comes around groups. And we want to share this with you guys as a listeners so you can feel like you're a part of the family here. So there's an activity we do at Father's Uplift whenever we have groups. It's called Roses and Thorns. It's a very fun activity. It's a good way to check in and let people know how you're feeling. It's a good way to talk about how you're experiencing the world and kind of like getting things off your chest. So today we're going to be doing that with you guys. So we're going to be sharing our roses and thorns, and we encourage you to share your roses and thorns with someone you care about today and for you to listen to them. So basically, a rose is something that's going well. It could be in the last day, last few days, last week. A thorn is something that's maybe not going so great, something that is either bothering you, stressing you out, maybe upset you, or just like an unpleasant experience. And then we could do a word of the day, which is just something that you might say to yourself. It doesn't have to be specifically one word. It could be a saying. It could be like maybe a little mantra that you have for yourself to just help you pick up and keep pushing. So I can go first. My rose is that I'm going to be going to the gym later, and I love to get swole, so like I'm very excited about that. My thorn is that I feel like I haven't been getting enough sleep lately. I'm always busy, and so I feel like one of these days I'm gonna catch a really good sleep, you know what I'm saying? And my word of the day is optimism, because I feel like semester's almost over. For those that don't know, I'm in grad school, and this sucks. If you don't have to go, don't. It's a scam. But yeah.
They're paying you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's real. That's real. But yeah, I'm optimistic that the semester is going to be over soon. So, Bonk, here we go. Who'd like to go next?
All right, I'll go. My roles is my son's basketball games on Saturday. That's my roles. Once I leave here, going to my son's basketball games is... What? Very important to me. That's my rose. My thorn is...
Yo, hold on. You be cooking people?
Well, he's three, but he's like 4 foot, like three.
Yeah.
So he's
so
like...
So, yeah.
Yeah. He just be buying his kids. I can see
is,
it.
The thing is, people realize that he's not like... He's not five. So his attention span is very short. Like, so while everybody's playing, he's like running around and I have to chase him around, but.
Oh, he plays on the older team?
Yeah, so he plays with the 5-year-olds. So it's like, but he's trying.
He's already him, bro.
He's trying. So I'm really excited about that. And my thorn is, you know, honestly, like what happened on the news lately with the Uganda passing that law, making LGBTQ, transgender, and queer illegal.
Yeah.
That's very problematic.
Yeah. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, it's real scary. So that was really a thorn of mine this week. And my rose is to just like hope and faith. That's my rose. That's my word of the day.
Word.
Okay. My rose is that spring is coming soon.
Soon come.
That my plants are starting to grow.
Yeah.
I have a lot of plants.
Do you have a green thumb? Green thumbs?
I like to think so. Yeah. I love it. So they're like putting out new leaves. They just like look happier, which makes me happier. It's nice to have something growing in the same space as you. So I like that. My thorn would be, now that you mentioned Uganda, that reminds me that in Greece, in the city that my family is from, there's like a lot of protests and rioting and stuff going on. And I've like seen a lot about it this week, which is not great. And my word for the day is breathe, because I feel like I need to just like relax a little bit and take a moment.
Word. I feel that. I love that. Appreciate you sharing that, both of y'all. So today we're going to be playing a very special game. Now, for the listeners, just know that George and I came up with this idea. We haven't told Athena about it, so she's finding this out as you are.
It's not my fault.
She is also finding this out as you are, so it's going to be a fun little game. So here's what we're doing. We are playing the ultimate dinner party game, all right?
Okay.
So we're each going to get to pick three guests that we want to bring to this party. Now, we're going to be doing like a bit of a snake draft here. So you're going to go first. We'll go this way.
Yep.
George will do his second pick first and go back this way. And then the last round, you'll start first. Go this way.
Okay, so sound I'm thinking good? One at a time.
Yeah. So who's your first number one
like
overall? Anyone you want, yo. Living, can they be dead, listen, imaginary.
No,
they don't even have to be of this world.
Okay. My first pick.
Fictional beings.
Is Queen Brefu. Who is, she was a slave revolt leader in St. Thomas, and she killed her slave masters. And they like, not in St. Thomas, I'm sorry, in St. John, which is also in the Virgin Islands, burned down the plantation. And they got freedom for like a whole year till the French, you know, went a little crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that's really cool. And I wanna know what it's like to kill your slave masters.
Sheesh.
So that's my top pick.
That's pretty G. I love that. Okay. All right. Listen, I didn't have anything quite as interesting as that.
I mean, I've just always wanted to meet her. Yeah. Like,
what would be your first question?
What was it like to kill your slave master? Like, how long were you planning this? Was there just a day that you were like, fuck it, like, I'm done?
Yeah.
You know, like, what was it like? And I also am really interested because I haven't been able to find a lot. I've like researched it before, but I want to know what life was like during that like year long period of freedom.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah. How was y'all feeling? How was y'all going through
the
world? I think my first pick is going to be George. Cause there's gonna be mad interesting people there. Yo, bro, we have to work the crowd.
Are they not invited to the dinner party already?
Oh, that's right. I guess we are already invited. So you're gonna be there already. So I guess
good luck. Yeah. God.
So all right. Well, let me switch my first round draft pick now. Now I'm just all right. Like I'm gonna bring my boy Santi. Boom. I need a friend. I need a friend there with me to like hold me down so I can also gossip with a little bit, like outside of like, you know what I'm saying? Cause if I'm feeling a little nervous, I have to like, you know what I'm saying? Yo, you think she smoke weed? Like, how do you do this? I don't know. I'd have to, right? I mean, not that I would do that. This is, yeah.
The person that I'll
hold it together.
The person that I'll breathe, Kevin Samuels.
Oh, I know.
The goat.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have a terrible time at dinner.
Yeah, he is. You about to go in.
He's going to walk up to her guest and be like, what's your weight?
Yo! Ooh, I live. You think you're an eight?
Oh, dang.
Nah, come on.
She instantly just got hot.
George. Listen, coming through. That's wild. That's wild. That was very intentional.
Oh, man, people are going to hate you. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, that's wild. Listen, yo, George came out hot today. Okay. Listen, we see where your head's at. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
All right, second guess.
He came clipped up. What else you got? You got second?
Second. My second guess will be, honestly, it'll be my son at 30.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. I want to, and me being the same age I am, so I want to just, like, see what he'd be like.
Yeah.
What type of man he'd grow up to be.
Yeah.
So that would be very interesting to see that.
You went from such a toxic to such a wholesome one. Ashgrit, you know,
you have to bring it back.
Yeah. Nah, I like that. I like that.
Listen, I'm a wholesome person. I'm well-rounded. So.
Yeah. Nah, I love that. I think my second pick is someone who I always idolized as a kid. So I would want to meet Muhammad Ali, like, but like in his, like,
his prime.
His prime. Maybe like, so like he's went through ups and downs in his career. Mm-hmm. So like after after he had faced like a lot of adversity, right? Cause like he was stripped of his belt at one point, mm-hmm. and like he was trying to figure things out. He had lost a couple fights. Like, mm-hmm. like I think to see him like before he kind of got back on top, before he won the heavyweight title the second time. Cause like people thought he was washed, mm-hmm. and he was talking hot shit.
He got stripped of his belt because he didn't want to fight in a nonsense fucking war.
Yeah. And so like, yo, the confidence you have to go through all that and still be talking hot shit, knowing that like you're about to win the whole world telling you can't. Yeah. I'm like, all right, let me feel the energy. You know what I'm saying? So that's my second guess. Inspired a lot
of black men to stand up for themselves.
Word.
My second person would be my father because I love him.
Shout out, Dad.
He also really likes Muhammad Ali. And I think he'd also want to know what it felt like to kill your slave. Like, I feel like
it's starting a real good party of a
really good time. And
he would have talked to Kevin Samuels?
He absolutely would.
Oh, he would, but yes. I don't think Kevin Samuels would want to talk to him.
Yo, actually, let's talk about this. How is your dad?
How's my dad? What?
How do you think that does your dad know of the Kevin?
I don't think my dad knows who Kevin Samuels is. But me and my father are very similar people. I would say that we have similar values in life. And as much as like I don't know how to fix my face or hold my tongue in situations, like it's not that he doesn't know how to, he just simply does not care to. Like he's been through, like he's in his
70s.
He fought in war, he been in the civil rights, like he did all the shit. He's like, what are you gonna do to me?
I done seen it off of Christ, bro. I'm ready to go.
So he's like, you know, he say some shit.
Yeah.
Tell him how it is.
Okay.
Gossip a little bit. I think it'd be fun.
Well, now you get to be your third.
I think it would be a good dinner party.
So far.
So far.
And my third person, I don't know. I would meet, you know what? Probably like Rihanna.
Ooh.
But pre-billionaire Rihanna, because I feel like that changes you.
What?
Just a little bit. Because I want to meet her like before she started her empire. I love that she started her. I'm great for her. But I want to meet her when like music was her thing. And like when she was first coming into things. Because not that she's not still super proud to be Caribbean. We love her. West Indian queen. But I feel like that era of her, for me at least, was like when it became like cool to be Caribbean, and people were like, oh, like people live there, y'all don't just like
vacation
whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So I think it would be cool.
I'll be there.
And also she's hot, and I think it would just be a nice.
Are you trying to shoot your shot
with moment with Rihanna?
Yeah.
Listen. Listen,
English.
That'll be good. All right, my last pick I'm going to take, I mean, think about this. I'm going to take Malcolm Gladwell. He is one of my favorite writers. I think his writing is very unique. I think his thought process is very unique. And I've just watched him in like a bunch of interviews and stuff like that. And I just think he's a delight. I just think he's like a fun person, very interesting, clever. And so like, I'm taking him. Third pick, boom.
And my third pick will be the great late Virgil Abloh.
Hey!
I love Virgil. I love the way he thinks. Like, and he's Ghanaian, so I love that as well. I think you have really great insight on just everything. He thinks really like uniquely.
Word.
And his thought process always challenges people's way of thinking. So yeah. I'd love for him to be around.
All right, plot twist. Because we're POC, you already know we just had to sneak someone else in. So now you're just being forced. Who's your fourth person that you're sneaking in?
Oh, I thought you were going to say me not to be quite.
Oh, no. Listen, no requirements here, all right?
My fourth person?
Yeah, you're sneaking them in. You can't, you're going to cause a scene at the door when they don't try to let you in with your friend.
Kanye like, West. Kanye to the...
What era?
Right now. Trump.
Yikes. Oh, my God. I don't know why I did this. I don't know. I apologize.
There literally thinks that man is like...
Oh,
she's gone.
Him and gone. Kevin Samuels? And
I saw it's gonna be beautiful. Oh, my
goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, what's
damn, that's actually kind of wild. That listen, I didn't expect that to come out of your mouth.
I like Kanye West.
I mean,
I'm a selective listener, so I know how to take things and take it away. So I like Kanye West. I mean, he's very problematic,
yeah,
but like. There's ways to go about things, and he's just not doing it in the correct way. But I kind of understand what he's trying to do, but the way he's going about it is not the right way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to say I see the good in everything, but like, man, I know you're trying to like go against the status quo, but like, man, like you don't have to do it like this, you know? But I think you have great insight on certain things. You will say some problematic stuff, but. You know, I think it would be great. Your dad will love them.
Oh, sure.
Who's the Ghanaian dude?
Virgil Abloh. He's the creative director.
No. The dude from the other episode.
Jerry John Rawlins.
Yeah, that's what I'm inviting. No!
Okay.
Come on. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that episode.
Jerry John Rawlins is going to be, oh my God.
We love a good coup.
It's going to be very entertaining. Him and Kanye West is going to have an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm.
I don't know who my fourth person would be. I think maybe I want someone from like forever ago. Like I want to meet like a average. Can I bring like a commoner from like ancient Egypt?
Sure.
Ancient Egyptian.
Like what class? Because you know what
they common. Common
class.
I want like maybe like a jeweler, like a person, not like a peasant. As much as I'm sure damn, they would be great to meet.
Listen, that felt probably.
Wait. What do you mean peasant?
Yeah,
like,
let's
go. They have like I don't know if that's what they call them, but like
not lower
like,
class.
Like the people that they have build the pyramids. Is that what they wear?
Listen, problematic. Like it is going. It is wild. Wow.
It's not a problematic word unless you think problematic things about peasants.
I don't know.
You got to switch it up.
Listen, is she ready? Guns up, blazing.
I thought like a crafts, like a jeweler.
That's lit. I love that.
Okay.
I will say something about this exercise that we need to check ourselves about. We didn't invite any women.
I invited.
No, I mean us. The two men here.
Honestly, yeah. I was thinking about my mom. But
I never for a second thought my mom should come. I was like, nah. My mom is not passing the vibe check.
My mom. Yeah. I was like, I would love to bring my mom.
Yeah.
But I was just gonna sneak her in anyway. So
yeah, no, that's real. Okay. But,
yeah.
You wanna invite any women up? Any other women?
He's like, no, I'm good.
Man.
I feel like bell hooks. Oh, yeah, how about come through? R.I.P.
Good
go.
But I invite. I would invite, I don't know, Whoopi Goldberg?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I like her. I'm talking about her. I just like her.
Yeah. I feel like this is gonna be an interesting dinner party. I'm with it.
It would be.
What's something wild that's gonna happen at this party?
Kevin Samuels
gonna get jumped.
Her dad's gonna try to fight Kanye West.
Yeah, I might try to fight Kanye West. Or hug him. Tell him I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, what's going on, bro?
He's gonna tell everybody they don't got the answers.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I am the art pro. You gotta let me in here. Yeah, nah, that's wild. I bet. That was a fun little exercise. You know what I'm saying? All right, so today we're going to be talking about mentorship and the role that that's kind of played in our lives and how we can use it as like a community building tool. So I would like to ask you guys to just think about some people who have helped mentor you, nurture you, guide you through the world and like... Essentially, yo, just show them some love right now, right? Because I feel like oftentimes we don't really give people the flowers they deserve, because we always assume that there's going to be a time when we're going to do that. But I would like to ask, so who helped y'all get here?
I don't know. My first person would be Quincy Mills. Who used to be the director of the Africana Studies program at Vassar. He now teaches at the University of Maryland. But like growing up in a really white town, like he was my freshman year of college was my first ever like black teacher, professor, whatever. And it was also my first Africana Studies class, which ended up being my major. But we were also just like very close. Like he got me multiple jobs, like research opportunities, like got me the books that I needed.
Hey.
Was always connecting me to different things. Even after he left Vassar, after my junior year, my senior year, I was applying for grad schools, like reached back out to me, made sure I was on top of my thesis, made sure I was doing my applications. He would call me like 8 p.m. at night and be like, you need to call this interview person back. Cause you know how there's like all those like stupid unwritten rules that
nobody tells
you.
Yeah. Like send a thank you email.
Yeah, you're like, supposed to figure out. So he would call me and be like, you need to do this, 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 and this. Who, you know, do all these different things. But aside from being a really great professor, he was also just like a really strong advocate for Black students. And my freshman year, some white person who they can't find, in our library, like graffitied kill all the blacks in.
Yo, wait, this happened at Vassar?
At the Vassar College. Not as cute as she might seem.
We call it Vassar.
And so the school like didn't really do anything about it. You know how they are, whatever. And so we had like had a protest on like at the library steps, like to shut the library down essentially. And the whatever she was, the head of security came over and was like, this is a fire violation. You guys can't do this. Da-da-da-da. Like was saying all this stuff. It was basically being like, y'all are gonna be physically removed by the fire department if you don't move.
Yeah.
And we were all like, you know, we're like 18 years old. We were like, what the fuck are we supposed to do about this? And Quincy was the only staff or professor or anything. He stepped forward out of the crowd of people watching and he was like, don't get up. Like,
yeah.
He was like, fuck them. He was like, I might lose my job. And our little president was like, never. Psh, whatever. He left 3 years later. So I don't know.
Hey.
But he was the only person that wasn't a student who had some like actual power at the institution who was like, fuck them. Yeah. Fuck what they're telling you to do. Like, you have every right to be here. You have every right to say what you want. And he was like, when they wrote that shit in the library, they were like, they didn't say students, like they said black people, all of, he was like, that's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, that's me, that's you, like, don't move. He was like, I'm gonna sit here too.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just like a very powerful moment of what it means to have support from people where it like actually matters, you know? Yeah. And like from people who have the power for their support to like,
mm-hmm.
What's that word? Reverberate, echo?
Oh yeah, I like that.
And he's just also a really nice person. He writes about black barbershops. Like, he's just like, I love him.
What's his IG?
I don't know his IG, but his name is Quincy Mills.
Quincy.
That's what's up. Yeah, love him.
Quincy Mills, we respect you. We love you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
because we know you're gonna keep doing it. That's so dope. That's such a dope story. Damn, that really touched me. I'm so glad we decided this topic.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just like, damn, D, you're such a really brilliant person for coming with
us. I wish I had somebody like.
Although it was that. Actually George.
Huh?
Huh? Nah, nothing.
Don't even.
Like, what, yo?
But like, I've never had a mentor. Like, never.
Get out of here.
I'm dead ass. I've never had a mentor. I've had people.
There's people that, listening right now who like, what?
Yes.
What? Yeah. What? Who was I? Who was I? What in my chopped liver?
No, I've never had a mentor, but I've had like people that have been in my life that has been like kind of like a substitute to my father, because my father lives in Ghana. So the first person is Mitch Adams.
Okay.
White dude, my basketball coach from high school.
Okay.
So he kind of cultivated me and helped me get to where I'm at today academically and basketball wise. Like, he was kind of like father figure. I remember he used to like when I played for Team Adidas, he used to drive me to all my games, like free stuff, like he was just there for me, you know. And he didn't more like speak, like when I think of a mentor, I think of somebody that kind of like instills like knowledge and like direction and consistency. Yeah. Like he didn't do all that, but he was there for me.
Yeah.
So I don't really see it as a mentorship, more like he was there.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had people that were there, but I've had people that literally like mentored me, be like, hey, this is the steps you need to take to get to where you need to go to.
What's your favorite Mitch story?
Huh?
What's your favorite Mitch story?
Mitch story?
Yeah.
So my senior year in high school, and I graduated young. I was 17 when I graduated.
Young boy.
And I didn't know what, so I when I moved from Ghana, I didn't know what ACT or SATs were, and I know I needed that to go to college.
Yeah.
So it's my senior year, and he's like, hey, have you taken these tests? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, so he set me up with like a tutor and helped me and all that to get all that done. Like, I had no idea what those things were. I didn't know what the requirement was to make it to D1, D2. I didn't know none of that. I was just like, I'm just gonna show up, play. But like, he kind of like, that was the first, he kind of like help me understand like the reality of certain situations, and he helped me out with that, and I appreciate him. He's currently not alive. He died back in 2011.
Damn, RIP.
2012, something like that. But like, when I found out, it was really devastating. But like, I really appreciate what he did for me. If it wasn't for him, like, I probably wouldn't have made it like anywhere, like even played overseas, none of that. I would have just been regular, but like, I'm still want that mentorship. I've never had that before, but you know.
I mean, that sounds like a mentorship.
Yeah.
Someone who's like invested in your best
game. They're not like an assigned.
Yeah. Just because they didn't fill out paperwork, anything.
But when I went to college, like, it's like he wasn't there anymore, so kind of like me on my own.
Yeah,
and I went to like.
Well, sometimes people are just there for like a purpose, and like the truth is like, I almost guarantee you that if you would have reached back out, he would have been there ready to assist.
Yeah,
because that's the thing, you know. Sometimes I gotta say out of mind, because you gotta think like, he's probably not just doing that for you, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing about people who take on this role of mentor, is they don't just do it for one person; they actually do it for like many people, right? And sometimes in their role, they have to do it like, for instance, like, yo, any person who's in high school who's trying to get to this next level, that's what I'm gonna help. Because once you get to this next level, the understanding is that there's gonna be someone else there.
I think the transition was tough because I was mad, because I was like, I'm in this white ass school, and you got teachers telling me I'm only here because I'm a basketball player. It don't matter if you sit in the front. It don't matter. You're still going to fail.
Damn.
And like, you go
to... Call up these teachers. Who the fuck were they?
I don't remember them. And if you go to the library, they're like, yeah, like, it is what it is. Like, and like, it was just like, I'm like, where's anybody to help me? There wasn't anybody. So,
you know, what's funny is I've heard other people who did like college sports who said the same thing. Yeah. Like the professors would be like, are extra hard on you because you are an athlete.
Yeah.
Because they just assume you're trying to skate through.
Yeah. Like they made it. Like they made it their, they made it like the teacher made it her life's purpose to make sure it was harder for me than other people. Like I was just like, hey, like I'm struggling, I need help. He's like, honestly, like you're only here because of sports and there's really nothing I can do for you. You're gonna have to figure it out just like everybody else.
Whoever that teacher is, I hope you stub your toe right now.
Yeah, like
really bad. You know what I'm saying?
But like, I mean, everybody has their own demons. It is what it is. Yeah. Hope she's alive and healthy.
Woo! Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
But
I think my first mentor that I want to shout out is Jenna Sigmund, white woman who worked at the New England Aquarium. She was like someone who, she was like in charge of like teen programs, but I was not technically like a teen in her program. I was just a teen that worked at the aquarium, and like she got to know me and she was very kind, and like at that time in my life I was like really going through it. I ended up dropping out of high school. I remember when I dropped out, I first talked to her and like I was like really sad. Like I had just like accepted that like I was like essentially a failure in life and this was like my path, and she was like, nah, like it's fine, like yo, you took an L, you're gonna bounce back, you know what I'm saying? That was like the energy. She's like, don't worry about it, like this is just like a temporary thing. And like after that, I think it took me a few months before I realized, I was like, all right, this cannot be the rest of my life. And then I kind of had mentioned it to her in passing, and like the initiative that she would take, she'd be like, oh really, you want to go back to school? Cool, let me look up some like night schools for you, or like let's, and like I went to night school, I dropped out of night school. You know what I'm saying? And then to have to tell her like, damn, I dropped out of night school, it felt like I was like I almost felt like I had like failed again and that I had let her down. And she was like, no, like it's just like her attitude was always like, it's just not for you, right? Like we're gonna find the next thing for you. And I think that like it's interesting because she wasn't a social worker, but to me she embodied what it means to be a social worker, this like empathy, this like creating almost like this positive force in your life where like they refuse to quit, and when things are darkest in your life, that's when they're most positive because they know that that's when you need them the most. And not like she did things for me, but she just empowered me in a way where like, oh, you just need a little help, here's some resources. Oh, you want to go back to school? All right, here's some opportunities that you can look into. Finally, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do the school thing because like I was like essentially 18 and all these programs were like, oh yeah, you'll graduate high school at 21. I'm like, 21? Like, why am I still going to be in high school? Like, nah, I'm not doing that. I ended up doing a GED, and she found me this program for like a GED, free GED like program. So like I would have to take classes for a few months and I could take the test for free. I dropped out of that because I was like, I just don't want to take classes. And eventually she was like, all right, well, if you just want to take the test, like here's the resources. And so I ended up just paying for it, passed it like my first chance. And by the time like I was about to be 19, like I had just started community college, which she helped me apply for. Like she just, every step of the way has always been so helpful. And I know for a fact, I'm not the only person she has done this for. You know what I'm saying? So the amount of like teens in Boston who have been impacted by like her efforts is just like, it's wild. But even for undergrad, she like wrote me a letter of recommendations, which was like years after. Mm-hmm. And so Jenna Sigmund, thank you. I love you. You're amazing. Your kids are cute. I follow you guys on Facebook, so. I can't wait till the next time we get to see you in person. Because she lives in Texas now. So Jenna Sigmund, my number one draft pick.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Who's going next? I can go again.
I'll go. So.
Oh, nice.
So, the person that I feel like was the first person. So, I don't know the definition of mentorship, but like the first person I feel like could possibly instill not just mentorship but life and the second chance of hope into me was Dr. Daniels. Charles Daniels. So
I actually had Charles second on my list too. So after you do your shout out to Charles, we can give my shout out to Charles.
When I say this man is changing generational lives and curses is not even funny. Like, I mean, man, I don't even know what to say about this man, but like what he did for me, I wouldn't, like, he changed my life. Like, cause when I got my heart, when I got my heart failure and I didn't know where, and I couldn't play basketball anymore because there was like basketball is not in, like, and I had nowhere to go. I found him and he was like, listen, I don't want to be a therapist. I just want to mentor you. I see something that you don't see in yourself. So he put me in a position where he believed in me and my abilities. So that made me more confident and it cultivated me to push myself to do different things. So that's where I'm at today, where I have my own, like, I have my own multifamily. I have my family. I have all that. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have the mind that I have today. Like, he kind of put me in position to help me critically think. And through before that, I've never really had a real job, but before that, nobody ever gave me the opportunity. It's always like I had to like prove myself every single time. It's like even like times where I just work like in the summertime just to have fun, like I always got the low tier jobs. I never was able to, like, nobody ever gave me the chance to like be a manager or do this or do that. But he just like gave me the chance to start a youth program, man. Like, just put me in the trenches. It was like, you could do it.
Yeah.
And that kind of like built my confidence. And he's been consistently putting me in positions to further myself professionally and further myself mentally and everything. Like, and like my life would never be where it's at without him being in it. Wow. Like, impossible. I don't know where I'll be without like him and his wife, but like especially him. Like, and I know, like you said, I'm not the only person he's done it for, but thank you, Dr. Daniels. Like, but I appreciate it. And
yeah, now I'm gonna ride on this wave too, you know, because actually I have Dr. Charles Daniels on here on my second on my list. Because like, man, when I met Charles, man, it was one of the lowest points of my life. And it was a chance encounter, right? So, yo, shout out to my boy Abraham for putting me on. Yo, you're God too. I fuck with you heavy. We just checked in recently and he's doing incredible work. And I'm so grateful to have you as a friend. And so basically this friend, like, at the time I was like in a really dark place. Like, I was not living the best life. I was making awful choices, very self-destructive. To be honest, I think I was trying to like send myself to the grave early. And I mentioned some of the things going on to my boy. He's like, man, you should really talk to somebody. He's like, I got a therapist you could talk to. And the funny thing is like at the time I was like, man, who the fuck go to therapy? Like, that's white people shit. I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And like not even understanding how like toxic and ignorant that thought process was. But then like I really hit a low after getting fired from a job that I really enjoyed. I reached out to Abraham. He connected me to Charles Daniels Jr., Dr. Daniels. And you know, the interesting thing was I truly feel like it was like fate, because I think I was his last client that he took on. And it was like on a whim. Like, my boy texted him, he hit me back, we connected, and it was just like it just kind of set the ball in motion. And I just remember all of the times that Charles challenged me, all the times that he spoke like kindness and love into me. Like, there's a sign that says we bring like our men back to life. Mm-hmm. In the office. And I really truly felt like I was like a dead man walking, and like everything that I kind of got to experience from being involved with Father's Uplift, but specifically from like Charles, like, because there'd be times where I would like skip therapy sessions and he'd be texting me like, where you at? Like, come on, brother, like, we gotta do the work. You know what I'm saying? And like, again, has motivated, inspired me to go back to school, helped me get to grad school. Like, times when I'm struggling, I know I can reach out to him and he's always there. Mm-hmm. So for that, thank you so much, Dr.
It's crazy how the man is always there and he got so much going.
So much. I'm like, I don't understand how he does it.
Right now.
I don't know.
I could text him right now. He'd be like, all right, give me a minute, I'll call you.
Yeah. One of the hardest working men I've ever met. Like, we went on a retreat. And in that retreat, like, everybody's having fun, jumping in the pool, we're eating, we're having a good time. The whole time, he is either holding his children, making sure that they feel his love, his warmth, his kindness, or he is working, you know what I'm saying, and grinding.
I don't think that and, man sleeps.
Yo, it's inspiring. Like, I'm like, yo, if I could be half as productive as Charles, listen, I'm gonna be grinding, you know what I'm saying?
People don't realize how much he does in the background. Like,
yeah.
Like, he does so much, and he has so much pressure,
yeah.
And he's handling it.
Yeah.
Like, so, and if anybody else, it would have just...
Yeah. And I think the most incredible thing about this is, like, if there's, like, a drive to just give back to the community, mm-hmm. to, like, Black men, and to help, you know, people just reconnect with their families. And, yeah. like, it's just such a, like... such a like pure pursuit for like empowering people that like it truly is inspiring. Actually, something that he said to me was when I was studying, you know, in my undergrad, I was finishing up a class, I was taking a psychology class, and in it they were talking about how like therapists or psychiatrists should never like say things like, oh, I love you. And I like challenged Charles on that because Charles would tell me that. I was like, bro, you can't say that, that's not professional. And he was like, yo, those are like books written by white men to treat white men, for white men to practice. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that white men can never understand the plight of Black and brown people, and they actually don't understand what we need to treat ourselves.
Mm.
And in that way, I was like, he is truly an innovator, right? And like, truly provided me with like, he did give me that, and I needed that. And like, it was a very healthy thing. It wasn't inappropriate, but it was really revolutionary. And I think the more I look at social work, I realize that that's such a thing that people don't want to touch in our field, is this idea of saying like, yo, you have to love your clients. I really truly believe that social work at its core is about love, right? There are social workers and there are people who work in social work.
Mm.
And social workers at their core love their clients and the people that they're serving. Wow. And I think that's something that Charles really showed me. And like has set the bar for how I want to practice. Mm. So again, Charles, you are an inspiration. I appreciate you, everything you've done for me. Obviously, George does too. So thank you, God. Don't slow down ever. We're here to help you however we can.
Yeah, for real. We're
word.
Yeah, we ain't going nowhere.
No.
That's so wholesome. I'm gonna meet Charles now.
You will. Listen.
I'm getting emotional.
His energy is powerful. His energy is incredible, man.
Also, all that also goes for Samantha. Samantha's amazing.
Yo.
Samantha, listen, go.
Samantha is my rock.
Oh, I love Samantha. But Samantha just be dropping gems too.
Yo, and she just be leaving.
Yo, that's it. Like, I just listen. I like sometimes I'll have like a tough case,
yeah.
and I'll talk to her about it, and it's just like she just knows what to say. And sometimes, like, she'll say something, I'll be like, I don't feel right, and then I sit with it,
yeah.
and I'm like, wow, yeah, like that's so powerful. I'm like, damn, that makes so much sense.
Yo,
and just like, man,
listen. She's different.
Yeah,
like when it comes to therapy, she's like highly skilled at it.
Yeah,
like crazy skilled at it. I wish she would practice more because like. That people need her type of therapy.
Yeah.
Cause she gives it to us so smooth,
yeah.
you don't realize it. And then you sleep and you wake up and you're like, what the heck?
Right? And I'm just like, listen, man, I'll tell you what, I've worked in a lot of different places, had a lot of different bosses, and like there has never been a workspace kind of like this. It's so like I feel like I've grown so much mm-hmm. here. And I really appreciate that about this working environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's your number two?
Yeah.
Well, number two, I've been trying to think of, is it too much to say my dad again?
Never. What's up?
Love dance.
He technically counts as a mentor because like.
Make your pitch.
My dad.
Make right. your pitch.
But.
Tell us why, what's the difference between him being your dad and him being your mentor?
Like, mentor?
What makes him a mentor and your dad? Like the separation.
I would argue so your dad much. Is usually your first. Mm-hmm. Mentor.
Yeah. So I think also like he raised us by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He always says he's gonna write a memoir and title it "They Call Me Mr. Mom" because he did both.
That's parents. So cute.
That's tough.
My dad. I'm obsessed with
trademark. You don't have to pay no me shade. For that.
Yeah. We get royalties, yeah. baby. Listen.
But no, I think I mean aside from being like a really good father and just like. The traditional sense of like, we were fed, we were clothed,
yeah.
we had a house, that kind of thing. I think he also like I mean, even just aside from his own children, I think for other children, like for my cousins, for people that he grew up with, like he grew up in Brooklyn in the projects, and like routinely every year we'll go back, like check up on the kids that were there and make sure they knew that like they had options, like they could do other things than just what they were seeing in their community. I have cousins that are absolutely not related to me that still now, like 30 years later, like my dad would call them up, check up on them. They'll call him for references. He'll be a reference for anybody, for anything.
Big facts.
He helps people with their taxes. Like people who just like all of these things that you don't know how to do because no one's like teaching you how to do them. Like he's just always so willing to do those things for anyone, not even just his own children, but just children in general. Like if my friend needs a reference, like they could put down my father and he'll do whatever it needs to be. He wrote his ex-girlfriend, they're not even dating anymore, his ex-girlfriend's daughter a recommendation letter for graduate school because she just didn't have anybody to write it for her. And so like things like that, like he's just like a very like, you know, he wants everybody to eat. And I think that's a really admirable quality. But I also think like with me and my brother, like there's never been anything, any time in our life that we've wanted that he was like, no, like you can't achieve that thing. Like anything we've ever wanted to do, he was like, all right, like, what do you need me to do to help you get there? And I think like, not in like a financial sense, like he wasn't just like, here's $1 million. But like he'll do all the things. Like if we want to do something, like when I first started playing soccer, he went out and bought the soccer coaching thick ass manual, learned all of the rules of soccer. And after my first game showed up, didn't know shit because you don't play soccer in tiny islands. Like it just doesn't happen. And so after the first game went, bought himself the book, learned every single rule. And at the next game, you would have thought he was the damn soccer coach running up and down the field, doing all of these things. Or like my brother really wanted to play basketball. So he was always, you know, trekking him back and forth to all of these basketball games. But it was always like, I feel like he was doing the things he was expected to do, but then like
put in some effort.
A little bit more, you know? And so I think that was really valuable, but I also think he cultivated an environment that allowed me to like, you know, be how I am now. And I think he took really seriously that like your home is where you do the most of your growth. Your home is like your structure, it's where most of your values come from. It's where your perceptions of like yourself come from. And if you're not getting it there, you have to get it outside. Mm-hmm. And the environment that we grew up in, like we weren't getting that from outside. And so he made sure that like in our home, that was the thing. And so I think, I know we'll talk, this is a next topic conversation, but like, I think one of the things that he did the best at in terms of mentorship was like instilling the idea that like we were worth it. Mm-hmm. Like there was nothing that we couldn't do because we were deserving of all of the things. So like whether it was college, graduate school, certain jobs, like my dad was like, why wouldn't you apply to all of these things? Like what do you mean? And he'll sit there, he'll help me write my recommendation letters, he'll help me do all these things, even though he knows nothing about public health or anything that I like actually want to do. Like he'll go and he'll research it so that he can make sure that I have the support that I need.
That's wild.
That's amazing.
A billion other things for like other people's kids and other communities. And I think, I don't know, it kind of, when you were talking about Charles, that kind of made me think about it. It's like, I know that he does all these things for me because he's my father and that's like, you know, what he's supposed to do. But at the same time, there are so many other people that he's just like doing it for, especially for a lot of kids, like his friends who don't have husbands or who don't have like fathers around for their kids, like takes that step. Like I have so many friends that like he is their father figure. Which is fun for me because like I get friends, but I think also, I don't know, it's just a testament to who he is as a person. And I'm very grateful that he's my dad.
That's amazing. I think it is truly amazing just to see the impact that someone can have on like multiple lives. Like, and then like like when you see that, like each one of us can have an impact on multiple lives as well, right? And so that network then like grows exponentially, you know, it just grows so fast with each extra layer that we add. And I think I often wonder, I sit here and I wonder, I'm like, yo, does Jenna know how much I really like care and value her? Like, does Charles know that I'm out here like praying for him? You know what I'm saying?
Every
like
day.
Every day wanting to see him win, because I'm like, yo, the more he wins, the more he's gonna be able to help others.
Right.
And even if they were like to stop today and be like, yo, you know what, I just don't have the bandwidth to keep helping all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the work you've done already is just so incredible.
So
like,
dense.
It's like the track record is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and sometimes I feel like people like, We don't promote this stuff enough, you know, like the little victories that people get. It just goes so far. And to know, like, I know every single one of these people is just still like grinding and moving forward.
Right. And I watched this video about giving flowers before people pass. And like, definitely, like, I want to have a conversation with Charles and like Samantha and like really tell them how much impact they've made in my life. Like, I wouldn't be driving my Benzes, I wouldn't be owning this, I wouldn't be having a comfortable life without them being in it, like, you know. And I thank God for them every day, man. I thank God for them every day.
So I want to ask you guys, this is like the next layer of this, right? What are some of the qualities that you believe have made these people great mentors in your life? Like, why did you trust these people? Why did you lean on them? What is it about? Because I guarantee you, we could probably find some similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a similarity that I know that exists between Jenna and Charles, there's this quality where, like, when I say something, it's like, yo, all right, you want to do that? Let's do it. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'll get into it. No, right now. Like, we're going to sit down. We're going to Google. Like, they will sit there and Google it for me and, like, print something out. Give me directions. Give me an objective. Like, help me. It's almost like we have this thing in social work called SMART goals, right? Where there's a way to, like, measure this and track it and make it achievable. Even if it's breaking it down into steps, like, that's something that I think both of them did for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if my big picture was like, I want to go back to school, we're like, all right, cool. Well, like, what are the schools you're planning on going to? All right, what's the application process look like? What are the dates? Do you need to fill out financial aid? What do you need letters of recommendation? How are you going to pay for it? Like, they're already creating this plan for me.
Right.
And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, okay. Once I have that, they take the pressure, the burden off of like kind of building out that plan. Then it's like, just go execute.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is that I did the same overlapping qualities. They're telling you got this, you know, just the constant reassurance and like the promotion of like, yo, you have everything you need.
Right.
And to me, that just goes to say, like, one, like, they're invested, they challenge us to grow, right? But then also they help build us up and give us guidance.
Right.
And like, and that's what to me is like kind of like foundational to mentorship.
Right.
What do you guys think?
Mine is, I look at it as like they give me the right seed to plant, so I can, and then they occasionally give me water, but not too much so I don't grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it. So like Charles like gives me little gems and then checks back with me later and be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You might need to slow down, you might need to pick it up. So like that's all I need is them to just like give me that seed, the correct amount of seed, so I'll be able to take it and triple it. Because the way my mind work is, I'm always thinking big picture, but I'm not. But I still got to figure out like how to like make it big picture.
Yeah.
And that's what he does for me. He like, same thing like you said, puts me in the right position. And like the second thing like you said also is just, saying that you can do it, putting you in position, believing in you that you can do it, like, you know,
I'd be wondering, like, you know,
all people need is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, but like, if you don't have this, if you don't have degrees, you've had this, you don't get no opportunity.
Yeah.
But they believe in you so much that they put you in the trenches and tell you you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be wondering, like, yo, does Charles actually believe that, or is he just saying that?
No. It works. Yeah. I'm like, you don't have to believe it, but the fact that you say it to me,
yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out to you, Charles. I love you, dog.
So, like, acceptance, like how you were saying, like, you might feel like you failed at something, but they're just like, okay, what's that? It's like there's no judgment being
right.
No judgment.
That's perfect.
Like, such a key thing, because you don't want a mentor that, like, if you don't do the things that they tell you to, you feel like they're not gonna like you anymore.
The energy will switch up.
That's so daunting. Like, I've had people, and I think that's kind of what you were saying. Like, there's social workers, there's people who work in social work, and I think that
you gotta say that again.
A similar thing with, like, mentorship in general. Like, there are people, like, there are structured, like, mentorship programs, you know, and there are people who are doing this every day because, you know, this is like a regimented thing. Mm-hmm. And I've had, like, mentors in that sense, but I didn't feel like I could be like, yo, I just got a 30 on my orgo exam, like, which has happened. But, like, I didn't feel like I could be like, yo, I fucked up, I'm dropping this class, like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know, like, Quincy or, like, my dad, like, actual mentors, like, people who really embody what to me mentorship is, like, I feel like I could be like, yo, I accidentally robbed a bank. Like, what do I do? Yeah. Oh, like, I could do some crazy shit. And they would be like, okay, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
I think also that comes with, like, a selflessness. Like, their time, like, is not their time. Like, they're giving their time to everyone else. They're giving their energy to everyone else, which is so incredibly taxing for them. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is.
And yet still, like, they're just giving to whoever needs it, whenever they need it, like, 2 a.m., on a Saturday, you know, like, they're always there. And I think that's really, really special and really,
I love all that. Yeah, and now that I think about it, like, I would rather have somebody like Charles or your professor or your dad than go to a mentorship program where somebody would pay you to be a mentor, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think,
it feels more genuine.
Like, the thing is, the people who probably listen to the podcast will ask, like, so how do I find a mentor? Where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
You might have a mentor sitting in front of you.
That's real.
Just because they don't have degrees.
Yeah.
Lived experience is more than degrees.
Yeah.
You know, like, you might have a mentor that's sitting in front of you, but you don't want to listen to them because you feel like they're in the same position as you. Like, let's just say you work at CVS and they work at CVS. I'm not listening to you because you in the same position I'm in.
Yeah,
you don't know how many gems they could give you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, if people feel like a mentor has to be a step up over you in order to.
It's really someone who's willing to invest in you or hold you down and like kind of give you guidance. Again, like, I think about this idea of, like, when I'm down, who's there, you know? And a lot of people will say, oh, nobody's there. And it's like, and you know what? Sometimes that's true. But sometimes, like, when nobody's there, you gotta, like, really look a little harder, look around, or go find somebody that they can help you. Because there is always someone who's willing to help. It's just, it may not be in front of you. And I know how incredibly privileged that is, you know, because I feel like these mentors for me just kind of fell into my lap. But also, like, I stopped to think about how much resistance I had towards that help at first, right? Like, when Charles was first offered to me, I looked at my boy and I was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
He's collecting a check.
Yeah. And I was, like, essentially, like, blocking my blessings. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Jenna. Jenna would offer to help and I'd be like, oh, now's not a good time. I got to go. I'm going to go get lunch or I want to go home. And, like, really, I was like, I'm just going to go smoke weed somewhere or play video games or hang out with friends, whatever. But, like, when I finally took the moment to say, you know, I want to really invest in myself and humbled myself enough to be like, I'm going to really allow someone else to help me. Like, that's when that growth happens. So, you know, hopefully if you're listening to this and you do need help, you can reach out to somebody. You can always reach out to us here at Fathers Up if we're always looking to help. I think, well, how are we doing? We good on time here? We wrapping up?
Yeah. So, like, I really encourage everybody that's listening to, like, find some type of mentorship, like,
ideally in something that you like.
Yeah.
Like, some type of activity that you like to do.
Like, I know people use apps now to, like, get together, like, meet up.
Yeah.
Like, just go, like, there's a Facebook group called, like, I think, like, Black Students or Black in Boston, where they do, like, meetups and
stuff. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You
know what I'm
saying? Like, when I first
went to
Boston, like, you just went there, you find friends. And then, like, you don't know who you ever meet that will inspire you to do or will speak life into you. So,
like, young Black professionals.
Yeah, young Black professionals in Boston. Like,
shout out to y'all. Yeah, y'all doing amazing work over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they have an Instagram page, too.
Right. And like, you know, start looking up stuff on Eventbrite. Just go to things like, you know, like you said, don't block your blessings. Like, your mentor could be right next to you, you know. And and if you want to be a mentee, like, you know, find places where you can mentor at, or, like, you know, there's people around you. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs guidance. Nobody's perfect.
I think that's kind of the point of this whole podcast, is to kind of honor those who have helped us to get here, but also to set a challenge for not only us here in the room, but for anyone listening. If you can also help mentor someone else, like, you can legitimately change the trajectory of people's lives. And it may not feel like a lot, and it may feel like a lot, but if you're willing to make that commitment to helping others, it can really have a transformative impact on our community. Yeah, that's my challenge for today, my call to action. But yeah, you got anything else you want to say?
Not really. I think kind of on the same vein, like, we're all experts in something, you know, even if you don't feel like you are. And, like, you have wisdom and things that you can share with folks, regardless of where you are in your life. Like, there is something that you're good at. Which, for one, should be, you know, if that's the thing that you're good at, find a mentor if you want to pursue that and help you do it. But also, like, you can give back through it. You can guide other people. You can help other people get to where you are, even if maybe you feel like you're not, like, oh, I'm not, like, this great person with all these connections and stuff like that. Like, there is still value in what you have to offer.
Yeah, that's real. That's beautiful.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Come back every Wednesday. We drop it. You already know.
Yes, we have a lot of exciting topics coming up.
Yeah, go in the mirror and say you love yourself.
Yes. Please.
Every day.
All right. Thank you.